you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
It's Hair Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Glad to have you with us. A new study published in the journal Cognition caught the attention of some of my KPCC colleagues, and I thought it would be fascinating to talk with the lead author of the study, which shows a correlation between the size of someone's pupil of their eye, and performance on cognitive tests designed to determine everything from working memory to cognitive ability. Joining me is PhD student in cognition and brain science at the Georgia Institute of Technology, lead author of this new study, Jason Sukahara. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm happy to be on here, and thank you for having me.
So I know there have been a number of different studies that have attempted to look at this issue. Those studies have been criticized over the years for the sample size and even the controls on the lighting in the room where it's taken place. Briefly describe the number of participants in the study and what you had them do to look at this correlation between pupil size and performance on cognitive tests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've actually done like a number of studies over the years, and our sample size, we always try to aim for a large sample size to make sure that what we're finding is real out there. And so our studies range anywhere from as many as 350 participants to 200 participants. So quite a large sample size for a psychology study.
All right. And what did you have them do, and how did you measure their pupil size as they did it?
Yeah, so it's actually very simple. Basically, what we do is the first thing they do when they come into our lab is we sit them down in front of a blank monitor. So they're not doing anything, not doing any task or anything like that. We sit them down from the monitor, and we have an eye tracker that uses cameras and infrared lights to measure the size of the pupil. And that period can last for anywhere from 30 seconds up to a few minutes in which we're having them sit in front of the monitor. And so we call that baseline pupil size because they're not really doing anything. And then after that, we then have them perform a large battery of various tests of cognitive ability that include pupil's ability to solve novel problems, to hold information in memory for a short period of time, and also the ability to control their attention.
All right. And these are all things that correspond to at least part of what we think of as intelligence?
Yeah, so yeah, this is a good question. So intelligence is, yeah, very broad term used for multiple ways. And what we're interested in is something that's referred to as fluid intelligence, which is really your ability to solve novel problems, as well as your ability to kind of learn quickly and pick up new information and behaviors and whatnot.
So you found that the baseline pupil size when not engaged in these sorts of tasks showed that the larger the pupil size, the more accomplished the participants were on these tests?
Yes, that's correct.
And how consistent was that finding from person to person?
Yeah. So that's an important question here. So we do find a correlation here, and the correlation is not perfect, you know, so there's a lot of noise and other things impacting the size of someone's pupil, including lighting conditions, which we controlled for in a recent publication, age, their arousal level, how awake they are, all these other factors influence your pupil size. But there is at least a moderate to small correlation between the size of someone's pupil and their cognitive ability.
What are some of the theories as to why that would be? What is it about the baseline size of someone's pupil that would correspond to their performance on these tests of fluid intelligence?
Yeah, so people like to make all sorts of things out of this finding. And for us, what we're really interested in is this question of why is this relationship here? And this is really what science is about, right? It's about asking these questions, these why questions. It turns out that actually this pupil size can reveal quite a bit about what's going on in the brain. And so to understand this relationship, we need to have some understanding of what's going on in the brain when people aren't doing very much at all, like just staring at a blank monitor. And so scientists already know a pretty great deal about what is going on in the brain when it's not really doing much. And it turns out that it's actually not, the brain itself is not very idle. When you're just like staring at a blank monitor, it actually spends a great amount of energy to maintain a, like a healthy organization of brain activity. Because, and this healthy organization of brain activity is important because when we engage in challenging tasks and behaviors, like solving a novel problem, our brain works best when it's working together, when distant brain regions are kind of all working together at the same time. And so, and to be able to do that, the brain spends a lot of energy to make sure that it's always kind of having this organization, and so that the brain can work together when we need to all of a sudden quickly engage in something. When we need to switch from kind of just our default baseline mode to then, okay, now I need to engage my attention and focus on this task. Having that healthy brain organization helps us to do that. And it turns out that the pupil size is related to this area in the brainstem called the locus coeruleus. And it's just a small cluster of neurons, but it produces this neurotransmitter called norepinephrine. And this whole locus coeruleus system is pretty widely distributed throughout the entire brain. So it's connected to a lot of brain regions, and it does a lot of functions, but one of them is maintaining this healthy organization of brain activity. And so just in short here, our hypothesis as to why we think this relationship between pupil size and intelligence is there, is that people who have larger pupils at rest when they're not doing anything probably have a greater regulation of activity by the locus coeruleus system, which then benefits people's organization of their brain activity, and which then influences their ability to solve novel problems and to control their attention. That's kind of a mouthful, I know. But
yeah, no, that is fascinating. We're talking with Jason Sukahara, PhD student in cognition and brain science at Georgia Tech. He's lead author of the new study published in the journal Cognition, which looks at baseline pupil size of the eye and its relationship with people's ability to perform tests of fluid intelligence, of their cognition via testing. If you have questions for Mr. Sukahara, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. You can tweet at AirTalk or put your question on our AirTalk Facebook page. If I'm understanding correctly, this sort of resting position, the baseline pupil still showing the brain is heavily engaged and multiple parts of the brain are in this sort of active state, not idle, as you said, I would still think that there would be significant differences into, for lack of better terms, sort of the intellectual horsepower between brains, so that you could have someone whose brain is comparatively, you know, quite active, but the cognitive ability from that brain just is not as great. So how do you factor in those individual differences in brain power, so to speak, versus the activity level of the brain, if that makes sense?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, these are the type of questions that we're going to try to answer in future research, because a lot of this, you know, research has not been done to look at how pupil size is related to brain activity and whatnot. But one thing is that, yeah, so some people, so it's not just about, so activity is one important aspect of the brain, but it's also just how organized the brain is and how efficient it is. So sometimes people can have maybe less brain activity, but that's because their brain is more efficient. It doesn't have to work as hard to solve problems and to control their attention. And it can do that because it's more organized. When people have more disorganized brain activity, they might have to try harder and have more of that kind of, yeah, that power of brain activity in order to perform not even quite as well as people who are more organized.
Yeah, so I was thinking of someone, for example, with ADHD, who I don't know whether the organization might not be the same in the brain, but would perform mm-hmm. super strongly on these tests of fluid intelligence. So you're saying it would take more energy for the person with ADHD to do that?
Yeah, possibly. There's also, you know, some different types of cognitive abilities maybe kind of getting in the mix here as well. So, you know, we talk about intelligence as this ability to solve novel problems, but then there's also the aspect of the ability to control attention, which is something that our lab focuses on a lot, is developing measures to measure people's ability to control their attention, which is going to be related to things like ADHD and whatnot. And while even though attention control is highly related to fluid intelligence, they're not the same thing. So there's some differences there. And so it might be that some people are really able to solve novel problems really well, have high fluid intelligence, but maybe their attention ability is not as great, right? And so there's some differences here. And so future research is really interesting to kind of start to tease apart some of those things, some different cognitive abilities and how they're related to brain activity.
Alan in Burbank says, so if you get your pupils dilated, will it make you smarter? I don't think so. Real quickly, can you explain, Jason, how this is baseline pupil size?
Yeah. So important thing to always remember in these studies that and a lot of studies, but when we're talking about a correlation, we're not necessarily talking about causal relationships here. And there might be some causal relationships here, and we don't know which direction those causal relationships go. I would be surprised if it was that pupil size leads to people to be more intelligent. It's probably the other way around. But again, our evidence is only correlational, so we can't think about how increasing pupil size might increase intelligence in that causal kind of way.
Jason Sugihara, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you. He's the lead author of this new study published in the journal Cognition. He's a PhD student in cognition brain science at Georgia Tech.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAS.com/sweeps.